Now, we have spent some time this Lent in the book of John. Some of us have met together on Wednesday evenings and read through John's Gospel, especially the early chapters. So I thought we would look at one of the resurrection appearances in John this evening, John 21, the first 14 verses. It's a recommissioning. It's a recommitment to service. So the story here this evening takes place, obviously, after Jesus' resurrection. Possibly just a few days earlier, Jesus has been crucified in Jerusalem. Several disciples have now left Jerusalem, and I believe that they're actually beginning to drift away from following Jesus. Now, we're not told that explicitly, but then falling away from Christ can just happen quietly, without anyone else really noticing, maybe without even yourself noticing. Until one day you're back to your old ways and perhaps you've forgotten what you once had. Well, these disciples have left Jerusalem. They've left the fellowship of Jesus' followers and disciples. They've left the place of Jesus' death and resurrection, and they've gone back home to Galilee, back to what they know best, back to fishing. And Peter is here, the fisherman, the leader. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, partners with Peter in their fishing business. Four other disciples as well. They're back in familiar fishing territory on the Sea of Galilee. They're back to their old ways. But Jesus wants to recommission them before he returns to God the Father. He wants them to recommit themselves to him. And perhaps you're here this evening, and you need perhaps to recommit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've drifted away from him somewhat. And Jesus has a reminder for us in this part of his word that we are to come back to him, that we are to recommit. The first part of Jesus' discipling, Jesus' disciples being recommitted to him, is to recommit to Jesus' call. And so we see that Jesus always takes the initiative. He calls to us. And then it's up to us to respond to that call and to recommit and to return to him. We're to recommit ourselves to his call on our lives. And we can see this in our passage as we look at verses 4 through to 6 of our Bible reading. If you would, it's John chapter 21 and verse 4. And these fishermen have not caught anything all night. In verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. So all night long, despite very hard work, they've caught nothing. They're very discouraged. But there's this man standing on the shore calling to them. And the disciples cannot really make him out. It's still dark. It's very early in the morning. But his voice carries over the waves, instructing them to try the right side of the boat. They hear this man calling to them. They follow his instruction. There's a huge catch of fish. Now, this sort of thing has happened to them before, as you'll remember. When Jesus first called Peter to follow him, again, they were fishing all night, they'd caught nothing, but in the daytime, following Jesus' instruction, they'd hauled in this huge catch of fish. And then on that first occasion, Jesus told the disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In other words, you'll catch men and women, boys and girls, you'll catch them into the kingdom of God. That was their commissioning from Jesus. Now, is that first commissioning in the mind of Peter? Is that what made him obey the instruction from the man on the shore? I hope you remember a time when you were called to follow Christ and responded. Like Peter, you would have heard his word calling you to follow him, commissioning you actually to fish for him. I hope you have heard that call and have responded. He is calling you to commit to him in these ways. And if you need to do that for the first time, you need to accept that he is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sin You need to come to him in repentance and faith, in personal prayer. You need to commit. But I guess that it's more likely that if we're here tonight, it's more likely that we may have to recommit, like the disciples here. Say you've made a commitment in the past, perhaps a long time ago. Say your faith has gone a little cold or you've got a bit lost. You don't quite remember what Jesus called meant to you. Perhaps you're in the dark about how he wants you to live for him. The disciples are literally in the dark when Jesus recommissions them. Verse 4. And John in his gospel often uses darkness symbolically. It symbolizes lack of knowledge, a little bit of confusion about God. Remember Nicodemus came to visit Jesus at night. He was confused about eternal life until Jesus illuminated him by explaining to Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Well, these disciples have been kind of in the dark. They have seen Jesus die. They have seen and heard about a couple of resurrection appearances, but he has come and gone, and I think they're confused about what to do. They've not received the Holy Spirit yet. They're in the dark. They're adrift. And so Jesus calls to them. Is he calling to you? Maybe you're not sure if it really is him. You're a bit in the dark. All you've got to go on is his word. You cannot see him, like the disciples. Or perhaps you've drifted so far from him that you can hardly hear him and his call either. However, he is indeed calling you. As you read his word this evening, with all of us in church, he calls to you. He calls to us, just as he called to those fishermen disciples so many years ago. And he asks us to recommit our lives to him. That's a first aspect of Jesus recommissioning here, a recommitment to his call. And secondly, we're to recommit ourselves to his work. Recommit to Jesus' work, where the work he has in mind is a special kind of fishing. Look at the next part of the story, if you would, beginning at verse 7. John is talking about himself here. He brings himself into the passage, verses 7 and 8. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John's code name for himself, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. The disciples are here bringing in the catch of fish. And in a moment, we'll learn what an enormous catch it is. Verse 11 says it's 153 large fish. And the disciples have to drag it ashore without breaking the net. So as every last one gets to Jesus, that is their work. Early in the morning, just a short time after Jesus' resurrection, they're to bring the fish ashore to Christ. This is the work that God calls his people to, isn't it? To be special kinds of fishermen, to be fishers of men, to bring fish, to bring men, women, boys, girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, this is what you're being asked to recommit to. And by the way, it's not just for missionaries or for ministers. It's for disciples. It's for all his disciples. This is the work that Jesus has for us to do. And it's not so much that he wants us to stop our normal work. Of course not. You could be a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. But you're to bring the gospel into your work. We're to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, which saves us from God's righteous anger. We're to bring that into our workplace. We're to bring that into our homes, into our city, so as we may catch some people for the kingdom. Because Jesus takes our normal work, our everyday work, and he transforms it. So as these fishermen were no longer just fishermen, their work had been transformed, and their fishing is now a picture for us of catching people in the gospel net. The gospel net is a net that will never be torn. I wonder if you noticed that in the story, verse 11. All the fish were brought ashore. John's point is there was not even one that got away. If you've been truly saved and rescued by God, he will not let you fall away. His work is never in vain. Peter and the others may have been drifting somewhat away from Jesus. They may have left Jerusalem. They may have gone back to their business in Galilee, but Jesus would not let them fall away. They were caught. They had been caught in the gospel net. And Jesus will not let you get away either. If you've really come to him at some point, if you've prayed that special prayer of commitment to him, if you've been caught by him, then he promises he will keep you. Yes, the sinful nature will try to take you away, like the current of the tide. It will try to sweep you away from the shore. But the gospel net is strong. So keep listening to his voice. Keep committed to him. You will soon end up on the shore with Christ, along with a vast multitude. There were 153 fish caught on this day. Why are we told 153? Does John, the gospel writer, place a special significance on this number? Is there a deeper meaning to it? Well, probably not. It's simply likely that one of the disciples was amazed at the huge catch and just decided he would sit down and count them all just to see how big it was. And yet I'll never forget the Reverend Norman Lockhart talking to me in his retirement. I was a young curate here almost 20 years ago. Most of us will know Dean Lockhart's name. And for a long time, he was rector of Shankill Parish, Lurgan, largest parish in the Church of Ireland. And it had a mission in his time where the missioner challenged his hearers to fill in a response card if they had committed their lives to Christ. And at the end of the mission, when Norman counted up all the response cards, the number of commitments or recommitments came to 153 souls caught in the net of the kingdom. A coincidence? Of course. But it also seemed to be God's confirmation that the mission had had his blessing. Because that's the sort of work Jesus has for us to do. Evangelism, outreach. When you come to him, you become committed not just to his call, but to his work. You're transformed from a fish that has been caught into a fisherman who does the catching. You need to recommit yourself to that. Come back to Jesus and recommit yourself to the work of the gospel. Recommit to Jesus' call. Recommit to Jesus' work. My final point on recommitment is recommit to Jesus' fellowship. And I believe that that's what comes out clearly in the final part of this evening's reading, that final few verses. That we're to recommit ourselves to fellowship with Christ and with his church. Because any recommitment that you make is never purely a personal thing between you and God. It involves others as well. It involves the church. So look at how the story finishes. Beginning at verse 9 this time. Here are the disciples assembling on the shore with Jesus. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It's full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. They've returned to dry land. They've returned to the shore. They're now right up close to the resurrected Jesus. They've no more doubts about who this is. They're there in his presence. They are with him. As a result of his call and their response, they're now enjoying fellowship with him. Isn't that what a meal signifies? When you have a meal with someone, when someone invites you for a meal, it's a sign of friendship and fellowship with that person. So the disciples are now enjoying fellowship with the Lord again. And how especially joyful that must have been. You can sense Peter's joy in the story. When he discovers that it is the Lord, he tucks in his work clothes and he dives into the water. He cannot wait to get near the Lord Jesus. His love for him has been renewed. He's been reinvigorated in his faith. He cannot wait to be in his company again. I wonder if you need to draw close to Christ again, to renew fellowship with him. And maybe since your conversion, you've never stopped believing in him, but from time to time, has your love for him cooled? Do you remember how the hymn writer put it? Where is that blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Maybe you sometimes feel like William Cooper, the hymn writer there. You know that you need that personal fellowship with Christ again. We all need continually to return to Jesus and to his word. If we want, as the hymn writer puts it, that closer walk with God, we need to recommit to fellowship and to communing with the Lord. Actually, it takes discipline, spiritual discipline, to say, I'm going to restart that daily prayer time, that daily Bible time, that daily quiet time. I'll start just with 5 minutes, and I'll build from there. You won't regret it if you renew your time with God. And you won't regret renewing your time with his church either. Perhaps that's what some people need to recommit to most of all, fellowshipping with his people on Sundays and at other times. In our story, the disciples are all together with Jesus. Peter, James, John, the others, they're sharing the meal together. Peter is delighted to be with Jesus himself, but it's even better because his brothers in Christ are all there too, and there's wonderful fellowship between them. And it's as they meet together that Jesus feeds them. Did you notice that? Jesus is the one who serves them. Jesus is the one who feeds them. Yes, they bring their catch, which actually has also been provided by him. He told them how to catch it. But there's already fish and bread prepared for them. Jesus has his own fish cooking on the fire. He feeds his disciples as they meet together. And what I'm getting at is Jesus has food for us as we meet together. If you're a Christian, your soul needs to be well fed by the Lord Jesus. And that happens when you drink in and you feed on his word. Just as a child or a young person needs the right food to grow strong, just as an adult needs a healthy diet to keep well, so a Christian person needs to be fed to grow well spiritually. In part, that healthy growth comes from learning together within the fellowship. So yes, we've said that personal devotional time is crucial between you and God, but so are these corporate times of friendship and fellowship together, where the Lord loves to provide us with good, healthy rations, where we can sing about his truth to each other and to him, where we can pray with each other, where we can listen together to his word, to what he has to say to us. It will be good for us if we recommit to Jesus' fellowship and to his call and to his work.